Hey guys, and welcome to the Be Unstoppable podcast, where we speak with people who are truly unstoppable and who have overcome obstacles in their life. Today we have the amazing Sean Cassidy. I like to call him the LinkedIn wizard, but he does a lot more than that. He is an international business growth strategist, a speaker, trainer, and consultant, and he really does have an incredible story. Welcome to the show, Sean.
It's awesome to be with you.
So tell me a little bit, who is Sean?
Sean's just a guy trying to help people, really. You know, and he's been doing it because he's got helped. You know, that's what Sean is. Sean's just got that guy, you know, trying to help other people with their gifts.
And I really admire that. And from the moment I met you, because we will both be speaking in November at the CEO Women's Business Summit. I'll give you more information about that later. But from the moment I met you, you seem like the kind of guy who is willing to help anyone and everyone who needs help and who's open to receiving help. And I was really taken aback by all the feedback that you're giving in the mastermind group and all the help that you're giving. And I really liked that.
Yeah, I think it's universal, really. It's like how much you give to others is how much you give to yourself. No, it's universal that way.
And I definitely agree with you. And I love speaking with other people who love to help people. So you were speaking about that you were helped as well. Tell me a little bit how someone helped you.
Well, along the way, I started my life as a very much of a creative, actually. You know, because I grew up very poor. My father died when I was 4 in a car accident. And so I grew up basically, you know, just with a single mom and, you know, a couple of younger sisters. So I became a breadwinner early age. And so along the way, I had teachers, I say, that would help me, you know, like I was an early creative. So I got like a full ride scholarship to the School of the Arts in Chicago. And I had an art teacher that believed me, you know, and a teacher that believed in me at that time, you know, when I was a young kid. So along the way, there's people that, you know, pushed me ahead. You know, they pushed me ahead. So there's give back, I think. There's give back.
There definitely is give back. And I'm so sorry to hear that your father passed away at such a young age. That's something that a lot of people don't have to deal with and struggle that a lot of people don't have. Tell me how you kind of coped with that and overcame not having your father in your life at such a young age and being the man of the house.
Well, you know, this point in my life, I think actually it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like most people say, that's really a tragic story, but it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me at this point in my life. But during the times when I was a young man, and then later when I was a teenager, it was very difficult, you know, because most of the time, I never really had any support or anybody to talk to about it, or any form of a male figure, you would say, right? To talk about, you know, my life with or anything. I was blessed because I had a mother and sisters, and they were very comforting to me, and I was helping them. But yeah, I never really had a male figure for a long time in my life. I had to kind of search for that, like you would say, mentors later in life. Mm-hmm. So you know, what I had to overcome really was the idea of not having any support. You know, like not just emotional support, but you know, financial support or guidance. And yet, I think at some point in my teen years, you know, after I turned maybe like, you know, 17 or 18, you go through that rebellious stage in your teen years and you go, I want to be my own person, you know, I want to be my own person. So I think at that point I realized, well, I was going to be my own person on my own terms because I really didn't have to answer to much of anybody. So I had to make my own, basically make up my own story at that point, become my own person.
Okay. And then how did you go about making your own story and becoming your own person?
Well, for me, initially, it was because I was a creative. So I was a person that was making art and doing creative things in a creative environment all the time. I used that as my outlet, I think. I spent a lot of time by myself. I was a very lonely child because I spent a lot of time by myself, basically in my own creative world, you know, making up worlds, painting, drawing, making up characters, you know, making up things. I was a child that was very much in my own creation all the time. And when I later got into, you know, major into school, into an urban life in Chicago, which is where I went to college, I began to reinvent myself there, right? And kind of think of the city, mm-hmm. the urban city, as a landscape that I could reinvent my whole life in. And so I would absorb myself into the world, the inner city of the world, and what it had to offer.
And that is such a big difference going from more suburban area to a big city like Chicago. How do you think Chicago changed your mentality? I know you said you wanted to reinvent yourself. How do you think it's shifted your mentality?
It opened the world to me. You know, in Chicago, you can meet anybody from all over the world. You can meet people that speak multiple languages, different cultures, different backgrounds. So I was able to absorb that like a sponge, I think. You know, I remember a time when I had blessed times that I look back now, because I got to see, like, you know, movements. I got to see Buddy Guy play live and B.B. King when he was alive.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the whole jazz and blues scene in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I got to see it, like, you know, when stuff that now is historic and these people are no longer mm-hmm. with us, right? And I got to be involved in those scenes, you know, because I would absorb myself into the culture and the arts and the whole lifestyle of the inner city. You know, the culinary scenes, you know, the urbanness, the diversity of the city, right? So it became a great teacher for me in life, actually. And the other thing it did, it was a great teacher for me in business, in life. It was a life teacher for me, the urban city.
And the urban city can really be a life teacher to a lot of people. I know a lot of people are moving from the suburbs, from the countries, from rural areas into the city. And, you know, they can be scared at first, but it does really open the door for new possibilities and just new learning opportunities if you are open-minded.
Yeah, and I think in the beginning, you know, sometimes I don't know if it was something I always wanted to get out of where I was at, because it was a very small mm-hmm. community when I first went to Chicago. And then when I got into the urban city, you know, there's just so much opportunity, right? It's like the big lights, mm-hmm. big city, so much, you know, like there's so much opportunity. So you have to kind of figure out how you fit in and how you compete in such a big area, right? How do you, mm-hmm. you even exist and be important, right? That's what you have to figure out. So that city taught me a lot. Mm-hmm.
So one thing I have to ask, I hear stories of, and I know a lot of friends, they'll move to the big city, whether it's New York, DC, LA, Chicago, and they'll kind of get in with the wrong crowd. How did you stop yourself from kind of mixing with the wrong crowd and staying focused?
You know, there were people that approached me where they were in the wrong crowd. I remember a lot of those coincidences in my life. Even in school, there were people that were, when I was going to school, that would have put me into a bad area, bad space. So what I would do, I don't know. I think there's this instinct in the back of your hair goes up in the back. You like this sixth sense mm-hmm. that, yeah. That we learn to have, you know, after sometimes, and maybe because I did grow up with somewhat tragedy in my life, early in my life, I think I had an intuitive sense about things, you know, like where not to be in the wrong area at wrong time. Though I witnessed things in my urban life there that would scare people. I saw shootings at night. You know, I was in rough neighborhoods. I was also in beautiful neighborhoods. You know, not all of them were rough. But, you know, I saw things that would scare people, you know, because I was, one of the things I had to do was put myself through college. So one of the things I would do was run a bar and a lounge. When I was like 20, but I was like 20, but I lied about my age, right? So
okay,
I was actually 20, you know, serving alcohol to people. That was one of the ways I put myself through college, was like private bartending, private events. And then I worked in private, you know, these kind of areas. So I would get home at like 3 or 4 at night. So I would see, like, you know, what you see in the urban city at 3 or 4 in the morning. Right. I would see that. So, yeah, it was interesting in that way. And it also made me very streetwise.
That's good. That's good. It's always good to have a little bit of street wisdom about you, especially when you enter the business world. So tell me, when you made the switch from being a creative to the international business growth strategist that you are now, by the way, guys, he is an amazing international business growth strategist. And at the end, he's going to give all his information. I really encourage people to reach out to him and just work with Sean, because he is amazing at what he does. So what do you think made you make that switch?
There were four elements of my life that turned me into who I am now. You know, I mean, it was my early life, which made me a person that was an entrepreneur, I'd say, at a very young age. A person that knew how to make money by 13 or 14 years old, right? I was a person that knew how to, I would say, hustle for money, right? I knew how to sell at a very young age. And then my creative background made me think as an outside person. And then when I went and got out of, you know, putting myself through college, I had some student loan debt. I went in the military, which is an odd thing to do. It went from a very creative to a military experience. And then the military taught me to basically be a data scientist. You know, they put me in a special duty assignment. They made me a computer scientist, a weird person on computers, like a data person dealing with classified information. And then when I got out of the service, I got picked up by the startup, the internet company, which is the beginning, you know, of the internet, called Travelocity. So I would see how everything was sold online in the early years and how it was marketed online in the early years. And then while I was at Travelocity, I began to get involved with online forums after I got out of the military, online strategies about the internet development, what was going to happen, and, you know, selling things online and marketing things in the digital world. And I got involved with beta testing the first social media, which was LinkedIn. And then when I got involved with LinkedIn, I began to think of how interrelationships were connected with people in the world. You know, because I hit 30,000 contacts in 2004 because I was trying to break the software like a hacker, you basically would say. Mm-hmm. And so I began to think about the relationships with people. And what I noticed with, as I got into business, that the relationships of people were the most important factor in business. You know, it was like they look at you and say, oh, they got an interesting background, you have an interesting education, that's great. But do we gel? Do we have synergy? Do we have a relationship to work with? And so I began to refine that idea of relationship marketing at an early, early time. You know, relationship aspects to people and interconnectivity to people. That became my specialty, actually. And that was the reason that I'm able to do what I am to do now on an international level.
So I know a lot of people, one of their obstacles is building relationships in businesses. What are some tips that you can give the listeners on how to build strong connections, how to build relationships, and just how to grow from there?
Well, I think we're living, you know, we live in a world of social hierarchies. You know, like when you travel the world and you see places like you go to India or you go to other places in the world, they have social hierarchies there. It's very obvious, right? There's a social hierarchy there. But, you know, we also live in a social hierarchy in our society here. You know, it says, you know, you can't get access to certain people because you're not at their level. You know, you're not maybe at their business level or their wealth level or their level. And I just started to think about that as like non-important. Like, talk to everybody, meet everybody, you know, not have any kind of a ceiling of meeting or talking to people, no matter what level they were and I thought they were compared to me. So I would just treat people as total equal to me and equal in that way. And so my first advice to people is to really approach people that you really admire and respect and talk to them, meet them, get advice from them. Don't be afraid to talk to them. I think that's one of the golden ways you open a golden door is when you meet people you admire. Also, you might find out you don't like them, right? But
that's true.
you meet people you really admire and you... But you have to take the chance to reach out to them and ask to meet them and talk to them, right? And the digital world now allows you to do that faster than any time in our society right now. The digital world allows you to connect, interconnect with people that you would always want to meet in your life and try to meet with them and talk with them.
So early on in your career, can you think about a time where you met someone you absolutely admired, but you were nervous to speak to them? And you don't have to say any names if you can't. Maybe just talk about the experience.
You know, there's been a couple times in my life that's occurred. You know, when I was a younger person and I was at the School of the Arts in Chicago, I had a student job. And one of my student jobs was at the film center there. You know, I was like a student manager for the film center. That later became the film center for Siskiyou and Ebert, you know, the well-known film critics. They renamed that for them years later. Because they had donated so much to the school. And when he passed, one of them passed away, they renamed that after them. And I got to do a lot of the film festivals and events that were going on at that time there. And so I got to meet a man that later became really internationally well known. But at the time, he was only well known in the Asian community, in the Chinatown community in Chicago. And his name was Chow Yun Fat. And so that was, you know, like, of course, that was a crazy name to me back then. I didn't understand all that. But I got to meet him, like, in person, like in the green room in the back area where he was going to be talking about his movies, because the festival was really about him. It was all of his different movies. So all of Chinatown in Chicago had come out. I mean, it was just sold out. Like, the whole week was sold out, like, rapidly. And I was like, who is this guy? And so he had a huge following. But he turned to be, at the time, one of the biggest, you know, film people in Hong Kong. And wow. His movies. And so I got a chance to talk to him. And he was really, really sweet guy at the time. I found him really to be interesting. He gave me a lot of interesting advice, you know, about giving to others, you know, like he said, you know, my career has always been successful because I was helping other people. And that was profound. And then later, if you look online, Chow Yun Fat, you'll find that, you know, recently he announced that he's giving away, when he passes, his entire fortune to charity, everything away.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I thought, you know, wow, I did read it. I really kind of met an amazing person at that moment in my life. And to this point, I really kind of take that to heart, what he said to me. You know, being of service to others is really greater than being of service to yourself. It's not about that. It's not about your ego. It's about helping other people do well.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing story, and that's great that you got to meet an amazing person like that. So how did you end up approaching him?
Well, you know, part of my job was to help the talent, you know, and be a manager for the festival. As a student person, you know, that was put there, you know, it was run by students. The whole film center was run by students.
Okay.
So, you know, they didn't really have like a, you know, every year they'd have somebody else take over, right? So that year I was basically taking over the film center and I was running it, but I had volunteers as well. You know, they're all students as well, but, so when he came in, literally, you know, I met him at the airport, right? Like when he came out, literally, I picked him up, met him at the airport, took him to his hotel. And then later when he came back, you know, we sat down in there just to set up what he's going to say, you know, how he's going to, I'm going to introduce him and, you know, all these things. So I had the opportunity to just really to be, you know, close with him because I had to introduce the guy, right? I had to tell like all the people in the audience, who is this person, you know, and then let him go and talk about his films and what he had done with his career before the festival started. And then, you know, there was a lot of media there too at the time. I had no idea who the guy was really when I first met him. And I probably wouldn't, you know, I mean, I didn't grow up in that, you know, world really, to know who he was. And so it came to me, actually, it's interesting because it came to me through work. And like, I could say most of the people that I've met has been some way through my work, you know, like you meet people in some situation because you're working in some situation and you meet them because of that process.
Yeah, that's so true. I've met a lot of people through my work and it's true what you said. You have to treat them like you guys are equal. And when you do that, they have some kind of respect for you because you're talking to them as you're their equal. And it just makes things so much better. And it makes making a connection with them so much easier.
Yeah, that was now that I look back, that was a profound time in my life because I met so many people that later became well-known, you know, in that world because of that job I got, you know, like a student job I got. I met, you know, actors and filmmakers and directors and, you know, Lucas came in and spoke.
I mean, wow.
George Lucas came in and spoke to that school. So got to meet George Lucas, you know, I didn't get a chance to sit in with him like, I did with Chow Yun Fat. I didn't have as much time with him because he had a big entourage and he had people bringing him everywhere, you know. But I got a chance to sit with him and then it'd be experienced to be around George Lucas. Of course, at that time, he wasn't as big as he is now, you know, but he was already well known. So yeah, there was kind of like, what I learned, it was what you just said, like you treat everybody as equal. I really didn't have starstruck appearances anymore in my life. So I view that in the same way with everybody.
And that is definitely a great way to just go forward and make connections with people and really meet people who can help you and who can give you those profound experiences.
Yeah, life is about really about interconnectivity, a oneness. We're all on this earth together. We all breathe the same air. We all, drink the same water. We're all the same, really. We all have the same desire. And as you travel the world, you see that even more.
Yes.
We're very much similar. All of us are very much similar.
Okay. So, what advice do you have for the listeners? How can they be unstoppable?
Well, I think there's three things that I would advise them on, and that is building networks all the time for the rest of their lives. I think they should be, constantly using the social and internet space that we have today that's free to us to build, constantly a network around them that can help them solve problems, And they should not just stay within a silo in that network. They should have a diversity of people in that network of outside beliefs and interests of their own. Not just within their own kind of view of the world, but have a a global view of the world. The other thing I would say is that you really have to be sure of your own brand identity, who you are, understand what your own gifts are, and then surround yourself with people that can help you with your gift. And oftentimes I find that people don't ask for help because they think they know everything, In my kind of work, it's especially like that because sometimes people are coming and say, "Oh, well, I don't know if I can be helped," right? Because I think they're kind of confident they're already figured it out, right? They're kind of confident of that. And I think as soon as you get to that point in life, you don't grow. If you're confident you think you know everything, you're really going to be stagnant at that point. So you've got to continually want to learn, be a constant learner. Right. Learn from everybody. Learn from the
That's
folks.
so.
Everybody has something to teach you. And I think the last, and the last part of that advice I would give is take risks. Right. Take risks by, getting on that plane and traveling to another country. Right. That you don't know the language and you don't speak the ways. Take the risk, about meeting somebody that you always wanted to meet, but you were afraid to talk to. Right. And take these kind of calculated risks to understand that without the risk, there's no rewards. Right? There's no rewards there if you don't go outside your comfort zone.
That is so true. And I'm always telling people, keep learning, keep taking risk, calculated risk. And I like you said calculated risk, because you'll hear a lot of people say that, yes, you need to go take risks, but they do need to be calculated risk. And just building your network, taking those calculated risks, continuing to learn and just building your network. And I definitely think those are great keys to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and I think in the future, the network thing is going to become way more valuable because our currency is shifting. We're shifting from, the idea of currency, physical currency, to digital currency. And so your digital wealth or your digital currency wealth or your brand wealth really has a lot to do with how much you've organized a network, right? And so that's going to be really important in the future when we look at things converting mostly to digital kind of currencies.
Yep, and we are definitely heading in that direction quickly, quickly.
Yeah, it's happening at a rapid rate because the illusion of money is changing the way, in the world.
Perfect. So, Sean, thank you so much for being on the Unstoppable podcast. I am really excited that I was able to interview you. Like I said, I call you the LinkedIn wizard, but you are so much more than that. So thank you for coming on here, sharing with us the obstacles and the struggles that you dealt with and how you overcame them, and also just giving us the knowledge that you have from all the amazing experiences that you had.
Yeah, and it's going to be an honor to be sharing the stage with you and for the upcoming Women's CEO Summit. So it's going to be a great time.
Yep. So if you guys would like to see Sean and I speak on the stage in November, contact us. I will leave the information down below for the ticket information. And if you contact us this month, Sean and I have the ability to upgrade you from a regular ticket to a VIP ticket for free. So if you purchase the regular ticket through us, we can go ahead and upgrade you to the VIP package. And again, I'm going to drop more information down below. And Sean, if they want to reach out to you directly, how can they reach you?
Well, it's Cassie Creative Solutions. They can directly, you know, reach me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Cassie Creative Solutions. You know, but if you want to chat with me directly on Facebook, you can get me access, you know, directly there. My phone number is listed in LinkedIn as well. I mean, people can text me, you know, I mean, thousands of people have my phone number. People don't realize it. So, yeah, you can text me directly as well.
Perfect. So I will go ahead and leave all your informations down in the description below as well. And like always, guys, if you'd like to reach me, melmandre.com. You can also find me at Instagram at mel_andre911. Again, Sean, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And I am so excited to share the stage with you in November at the CEO Women's Business Summit.
Yeah, it was going to be a rocking time, and I was honored to be on your podcast. Thank you so much.
No problem. All right, everyone, have an amazing day, and remember, be unstoppable.